Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening. Welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. As you look around in life, with or without watching the news, it may be hard to figure out why people do what they do. But setting others aside for the moment, how do you decide what is right, wrong, and even wise to do? I submit to you, to make sound decisions in life, you need to have wisdom. Perhaps you have not thought of it before, but considering the shortness of wisdom in the world, where do you go to get wisdom to start with? Maybe it would be wise to spend some time today to learn more about wisdom. Let's find out what wisdom has to say to us. Now, let's continue by welcoming Pastor Charles and having him join us right now. Oh, wise one, please join us now.
Oh, mercy. That's a little scary. No, it's an interesting thing to stop and look at. You know, Scripture speaks a lot of wisdom. And I was surprised recently looking at some passages. It's almost as though they're talking about a person. So it's an interesting concept. And that wisdom has been around so very long, according to Scripture, we're going to see. And I know, especially in these last few days, you might be tempted to say, wisdom has left the building. It certainly appears that way. I heard one report just recently where somebody was saying that, violence is okay, there's nothing wrong with it. Violence is not okay. There is something wrong with that. You cannot justify violence for the sake of violence. And, people will say, oh, you just don't know the oppression. No, I don't think they understand the oppression, because what they are oppressing is freedom. You don't gain freedom by oppressing people. You don't gain freedom by creating a sense of fear or a lack of safety for the common citizen. That is ludicrous. And so much of this is staged and set up. The violence we're seeing in our country right now, we need to be very grateful that we do have, in fact, some leadership that is standing up and saying enough. Because, like I say, it's not a true protest. If we wanted justice, justice is already underway at the local level. Creating disruption across the entire nation does not bring justice. Justice is already being meted out. In fact, it's ahead of schedule. If anybody else in the country had committed a crime, however heinous, the legal process, the right of review, the right of appeal, all of that would have been going on for a very long period, often more than a year, several years in some cases. And this, they've already basically held him up to judgment in the court of public opinion. So, and the people who are supposed to be doing due process have already announced he's guilty. And so, No, this is not accomplishing anything but disruption, animosity, and putting social walls up. So there appears to be a severe lack of wisdom taking place. Seeing just on the news this morning the number of instances across our country where law enforcement personnel have been attacked, stabbed, bricks thrown at, things of this nature, including shootings. And those seem to be on the back burner as far as reporting. So let's get it down to a very practical level. You know, beyond all of the violence that we're seeing, how about just the decisions you make on a day-by-day basis? The majority of us are not rioting in the streets. The majority of us are not heaving bricks in law enforcement. The majority of us are just trying to take care of our homes, watch over our families, put food on the table. You know, life, that's what the majority of us are dealing with. And so how does a majority get a hold of wisdom to make decisions each day about how to protect your family, how to guide your family, how to conduct your own life, how to be a witness? Jim, you know, sometimes it's good to back away from the TV set, you know, reach for the remote just long enough to press that little red button that shuts it down, and actually begin to experience life, because in life it requires more focus and attention than you'll be giving it if you're staring at the TV. What do you think about that?
You know, I thought about this yesterday, and, you know, so many times the thoughts that I have, I sometimes believe that that God gives us thoughts and nudges us in a certain direction, and the Bible study we've done over the years and studying God's Word and getting to be closer, have a closer walk and a better relationship, it's interesting to me that I thought this, and I thought, wow, where did that thought come from? You've done that, haven't you? Where did that thought come from?
Oh, yeah.
How did that solution just pop into my head? You know, I've been several months in construction here at the house. We've taken on a project that has morphed and grown bigger than the both of us, and the Bible teaches, talk about wisdom, to consider the cost before you build. Well, we didn't pay enough attention. But here's the thought that popped into my head yesterday. Because of one's action, one, singular, and perhaps two or three that should have acted. And I thought, if I were a bystander, would I have done something? And here's what popped into my head. What's the alternative? Do we say this person or those people are not responding right, they did the wrong thing, they did a travesty? What if we had no police? What if nobody wanted that job? What if suddenly we just stopped policing? What kind of world would it be, Pastor? You see what I'm saying? I recognize there are bad apples in every walk of life. Doctors, nurses, lawyers, pastors, we've got bad apples sometimes. And does that mean that the entire barrel gets thrown out? What do we do without men and women that stand in the gap, that protect us? I want protection. And if there's a bad apple, I want him removed, he or she. So
yeah.
I just thought of the alternative yesterday. Where did that thought come from? You got any idea?
Well, you know, there's been some of our protesters that actually had that as a proposal. But the irony being, what does it get replaced by? Gangs, you know, drug dealers. So at what point do you just realize the lunacy of it? The one thing you're not having in the picture is wisdom. And, you know, that's what we need. We need people of wisdom. We need people in leadership who are not trusting themselves but trusting God. And too often, you know, we have a tendency to forget, if you throw God out of the picture, then that means you're going to trust humanity. I don't trust humanity. I trust people who lean on God for their wisdom and for their direction. But it's reached a point where it's almost like they don't even use the word, because they realize that once you throw wisdom out, you don't have any. And so how can you draw from it? So I think it's worth spending some time in looking at wisdom. And I think it will surprise people as we look at the scriptures, the number of instances that wisdom is treated almost like an individual, like it's a person. And the other wonderful thing that we need to say at the outset is that wisdom is available to you. Wisdom is out there, and it's available. And so even though it has a high, high value, it's not as though I can't afford wisdom. And I've even heard people use expressions like, well, I can't afford to do that right now. You know, no, because they're in the heat of a moment. And I'm saying, no, even in the heat of a moment, perhaps especially in the heat of the moment, you need to pause and rely on wisdom. Because, like I say, otherwise things will escalate to the worse, not to the better. And so wisdom is powerful. Where do you get it? Why do you even have wisdom? We're going to talk about that because we need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. So, Jim, why don't you get us started the best of ways? Why don't you open us in prayer, and then we will begin our lesson.
Father, you have told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Lord, we humbly come before you. We need you, Father. We cannot govern ourselves. It's clear without you. Nothing of substance, nothing good can come without you. So, Father, we come before you humbly. We seek your wisdom. You've told us in numerous scriptures that if you lack wisdom, come to you. Father, you give it abundantly. You give it often. And we ask you today, superintend this program. Father, may it be a blessing to you. May it be exactly what somebody needs to hear today, to turn and seek your face, to come before you and say, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness, and I need to be part of the kingdom. I want to be a Christian, a Christ follower. Lord God, that's our intention with this program, has been for all these years, is to do the work you've called us to do. We love you. We thank you in the magnificent name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, I can't believe you gave the secret away when you were praying.
I did.
You did. You told them where you find wisdom. Isn't that amazing? So, and now people are standing there, boy, I wish I'd paid more attention when he was praying. See, because they've already put the answer out there. So.
We just had a little bit more sleep.
Yeah, there you go, you know. Oh, but wisdom. We're going to look at this. And like I say, it's scattered throughout the Bible. But I thought we'd look at Proverbs chapter 8. In fact, James 1:5 is what you touched on in your prayer. You have that handy. What does James 1:5 tell us?
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Pastor,
yes,
this
sir.
Scripture, I love it because it's got my name on it, James.
Very good.
But just so you think I've been around that long, it's not the same James. This is a different James. This is the brother of Christ. If any of you lack wisdom, now I had to stop right there and I thought, oh no, that's not me. Is there anybody that can answer that first introductory clause? If any of you lack wisdom, okay, don't see anybody raising their hand. Oh, you, sir, you over there, come here. You lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. Again, the source of all knowledge, the source of all love, the source of all good things, God, that giveth to all men liberally. I didn't know I was going to say that, and there it is. And upbraideth not. So what is the word upbraideth not? And that's rebuke, and that means, as a matter of fact, I asked Alexa, what does unbraideth mean? You know, she said this is a superlative judgment, and she gave about three or four descriptions of that word,
right.
Upbraideth. And I think the reason is it has that TH, like the King James always changes our understanding of how words were used. But upbraideth not. In other words, God, in my understanding here, Pastor, and please overrule me if this is not correct, He doesn't do like some of us were done when we were in school, when a teacher would say, what is the capital of Guyana? Oh, I don't know. Simmons doesn't know the capital. You know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say, you lack wisdom. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to hold you up for ridicule. Angels, come here, listen. Jim doesn't know. So he upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Powerful. Am I close on any of that? That upbraideth thing really sticks out in my mind.
It sort of hit home for you, didn't it? It brought back some old memories, clearly. No, but that's
public
true.
School.
It's like, it's the person, you know, when you're asked something, or you, more importantly, you ask them for some help on something, and they just ridicule you, like, I can't believe you don't know that, you know. And
right.
So
right.
That is not a good spot to be in. That's very embarrassing and shaming. And what God is saying said, look, I don't mind you asking. It's perfectly all right. You know, gives to all men liberally. It's probably one of the few times that word can be used, you know, in a good positive light, that God will take care of us, you know. And he realized that if I give them wisdom, I'm less likely to have to go back and fix everything every few minutes, you know, if we're using wisdom. I love what Charles said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Because just because you know something doesn't mean you're using it correctly. I've heard so many statements from people that are supposed to be professionals the press has been interviewing these last few days. And it's like sheer lunacy. It's like, where did you get these ideas from? And so they're speaking as though they're authoritative. They have some knowledge. But it's not rightly applied. You know, and that's what wisdom is. It's the right use of knowledge. And I do believe that God is the source of that. So what does wisdom say to us? Because as I say so often in Scripture, it's as though a person is speaking, or that we're speaking about a person. You know, and I would say to you as an introductory phase that if wisdom was a person, we would, in fact, pay attention to what they had to say. These first three little verses, think about this. Doth not wisdom cry? By the way, that's not weeping, although I could understand why. If wisdom was a person, they might be crying at the way we seem to almost ignore her. But does wisdom cry? It means like crying out and understanding, put forth her voice. She is speaking up. She's crying loudly to be heard. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. And think about this. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. In other words, any place, every place, that she can be heard and seen. High places, places in your walkways, in the paths, at the gates of the entrance of the cities, at the doors. Think about it. You can't travel anywhere without going through an entranceway, without going down a path, a road, a street, an alley, something. And that's what this opening little passage says, that wisdom is trying to get out there and get in your face and get your attention. So, Jim, as you look at those first three little verses, doesn't it seem pretty clear that wisdom is making the effort? It's not like, you know, he says earlier in that previous James verse that, you know, if we just ask God, he'll give it to us abundantly, you know. And but here we find that in addition to that, wisdom's making an effort to get to us. Would you agree with that?
I think, Pastor, this is very clear. I'm glad this scripture points to what you're getting at is the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. It does not say over in a back alley, over in a entryway that nobody uses anymore. It doesn't say a vacant lot. It's making it abundantly clear that it is there for the taking. It's crying out. And so I think we're called to wake up here. Am I right?
Well, the other thing, too, is, and this came to me as you were saying that, did you notice not only in an isolated spot, but, you know, it's not just in the palace. It's not just on the French Riviera where only the most elite can get access to it. No, wisdom is on the path. It's in the high place to get your attention, but it's also in every door, every entrance. And so It's not something for the exclusive use of the most elite. It's available to all of us. And I happen to like that. In other words, it's not a secret meeting that you're not invited to, and that's where wisdom will be given out. No, wisdom is out there. It's available, and it's trying to get up in our face to get our attention because we need to know wisdom. And I think that's pretty powerful in and of itself. And so we're going to look at what does wisdom say to us, or I think, quite honestly, sometimes try to say to us. Doesn't mean we're listening, and by the way, that's the key part. So we'll just take three little aspects of it. One is that wisdom says listen. Secondly, wisdom says why to listen. And finally, wisdom will say to us, always listen. Don't, in other words, don't wait until you're in trouble, that everything's going wrong. So first of all, wisdom says listen. Look at verses 4 and 5 of Proverbs chapter 8. Jim, what does it tell us?
Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Interesting, Pastor. Those two verses right there says so much. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Is there anybody left off in this? And should I go on to 5 and 6? I mean 6.
Yeah, by all means.
We've got, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
Now, value. Pause there. Pause. Yeah. Think about the value. Think about the criteria that we're seeing there. And by the way, back at verse 7 and 8, my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is abomination. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. It seems like some of our speakers are that we're seeing interviewed, some of the people that you encounter in the workspace, sometimes people that you just meet socially, so to speak. You know, it's like they've got to throw profanity in there. They've got to throw something off color in there, suggestive in that to this conversation. And I remember growing up being told that, you know, cursing and swearing is nothing more than a weak mind trying to be heard. And there seems to be an abundance of that. And so these last three little verses you shared with us, we need to understand something about wisdom. Verse 9 is very easy to understand. They are all plain to him that understands, and the right to them that find knowledge. So in other words, if we're making the effort, God is trying to meet us. Wisdom is reaching out to us. And it's not disguised in hyperbole. It's not disguised in great big words. It's not disguised and some kind of a code that you can't understand. I love that little phrase. They are all plain. So it's easy to understand. And number 10 tells us, prioritize wisdom. Make it a matter of significance. He says, receive my instruction. By the way, that's, again, as I say in the passage, the way it's being written, it's as though wisdom is speaking. So wisdom says, receive my instruction. Don't take silver in its place. Take knowledge rather than the best gold. So in other words, don't be bought off. And you know, that's a very powerful little statement there. And you might be tempted to say, well, you know, if I had the choice between gold and knowledge, I might be interested in the gold. That's what the world is doing to you. The world is buying you off. And unfortunately, too many people are selling themselves out cheap. You know, the person who starts, it always amazes me. I shared this with somebody just the other night. we were talking about it and talking about like gangs and drug dealers and things like this. Did you ever stop and consider the organizational structure of like a drug lord or somebody who's even got a gang on the streets? There is a sense of leadership and organization to what appears from the outside to not be organized. It looks just violent for violence's sake. The reality is it is an organizational structure. And what's amazing to that is if that same effort takes a lot of energy to set up that structure, takes up a lot of energy and time and focus to run such an organization. And the irony being, if they were to devote that same energy to wisdom, you would have somebody who could run at a legitimate, legal, giving back to the community something kind of business that would really garner our attention in the most positive ways. Instead, they're wasting and probably spending more energy trying to run it illegally. Prioritize wisdom. Receive instruction, not of silver, knowledge over gold. Because you see, in the gang, in the street, you're being bought off for a price. You're selling yourself to the devil, quite literally. And so, in the desire of just simply a fistful of cash, in the short term, you're giving up valid instruction. You're giving up valid knowledge. You're giving up wisdom. You're just in survival mode. In verse 11, wisdom's better than rubies, and all the things that can be desired shouldn't be compared to it. Why? Because wisdom is of greater value. How many times have we used that little expression, I wish? You know, you're looking back at a situation, you see where you wound up, and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had listened. I wish I had done something different back at the beginning. Wisdom is the beginning. Wisdom lets you make the right choices on the front end. You know, how many times have you gone down a road and have to eventually turn around? And the longer you continue going in the wrong direction, the harder it's going to be to turn around and come back. We talked about that last week. You have to realize wisdom will keep you on the right road before you ever got down the wrong road. Wisdom will get you pointed in the right direction, and that's extremely important to grasp and understand. So what does wisdom say to us? Secondly, it says wisdom says, why listen? Because that is the teenager's question, all right? That adolescent who's saying, well, why should I listen to you? Because after all, they've got their new team of experts. That's the kid down the street. It's his neighbor. It's that person. Or maybe if you've gone off to college, it's the professor that doesn't know your background, doesn't know what's best for you, but is now set themselves up as an expert. You know, if we're fortunate enough to have a godly professor, that's wonderful because we can draw from knowledge God has placed into them. We can draw from a life of study and preparation. But sometimes we get teachers who have simply made a title for themselves. They have gone off into the world. And if they're doing it in such a way that there is no base of wisdom, like I say, knowledge by itself is not enough. Verse 12 says that very clearly, getting back to this idea of why should we listen. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge of witty inventions. In other words, the things that come out there that is the flash in the pan, it's the newest thing you just saw on TV, it's the newest thing somebody down the street just told you about. Wisdom dwells with this sense of, let's make sure we know what we're getting into. Maybe that's a good way of saying verse 12. Let me know what I'm getting into. Jim, how would life be different if before we jumped at something, we really took the time to find out what are we getting into?
You know, I'm an avid fan of YouTube. Whenever there's something broken at the house, and that's every day, you go to YouTube because somebody has already experienced this. And when you're watching YouTube and you see somebody take something apart and you see firsthand how it works, how it's put together. And I think that is what we're talking about here. Do I go to a man and say, I need to know all about the universe? And, oh, by the way, can you explain electricity, how that comes about, and gravity? And you've heard me wax prophetic on that. But we're going to the source of all wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I think this is a great way to consider where do I go and how, Pastor, I think the question, this is Ask the Pastor Now, so the question really is, how do we train ourselves to say, okay, let me ask this guy, this person, this, how do I stop and say, get alone and ask God? How do I train my mind to think God first for the answer, and then he'll lead me to other people, perhaps?
Right. It's this process of making a commitment to doing it over and over and over. You know, repetition sometimes is a good thing. And I say it's a good thing because, you know, if you just keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, it's sometimes saying that's a good definition of lunacy. You know, that I'm going to do it the same way wrong over and over and over, and that'll get better with time. No, it'll just, you'll have it down to a fine art of doing it wrong. And so we shouldn't be refining it constantly. Now, this idea of going back to God, if you do it consistently, you're going to find you have the sense enough to go back to him to see what he would do.
Oh.
In fact, verse 13, yeah. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So if we hate evil, what we're saying is, and by the way, don't think of fear of the Lord as like, as a believer, that you're living in terror each day. No, quite the opposite. Fear of the Lord is a incredibly healthy respect of who he is. You know, if you truly love somebody, you know, there is a sense, not the way the world uses fear, like you're going to cower in fear of this person, but if you truly love them, it would really upset you to think you had hurt them, that you had ignored them, that you hadn't been able to spend time with them. See, that's what we're talking about here, the fear of the Lord, meaning I don't want to dishonor him, would be to hate evil, because God is the opposite extreme of evil. And that includes pride and arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. Do I hate those things? Why does the writer say I hate them? And he's writing on behalf of wisdom. Wisdom said, I don't want pride, arrogancy, evil. I don't want a mouth that's always got something wrong to say. Haven't you known people that trying to talk to them, you just know they're going to have something negative? You don't know what they're going to say, but you know it's going to be negative. It's going to be depressing or angry. You know, you probably know people like that, but that doesn't mean you want to be around people like that. Ever encounter something like that, Jim, and how did you deal with it?
It is very frustrating, and I know several people that I can count on to throw cold water on an idea. I guess that saying is still used, but it's that instead of looking at things positively and thinking that, you know, if we join together and do this together, it would be a wonderful idea and a great solution. Well, but if we, you know, if you do this and you do that and you think, why is it so predictable? So I think in many cases, and I'm thinking now of my civic club meeting, and you might be thinking of your precinct as the judge, but there are those people. And I think if we change our mind a little bit about knowing it's coming and being prepared. And there was an old saying, Pastor, we used to see on these shoot 'em up westerns that you and I grew up on and watched, head them off at the pass. In other words, we know where the enemy is going to be, get there first, head them off at the pass. And so I think these naysayers, we see them. They are reliably negative, right? We know they're going to voice a negative opinion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it helps me prepare by knowing what I think they'll say, how they'll react, and prepare my statements and prepare my actions. Because if they bring something up and you go, why, I hadn't thought of that, and if you're kind enough to do that, sometimes, you know, my belligerence, well, it wasn't my idea, so I don't want to join in on that. But I think being that helps you be prepared if you know they're out there, but it's still aggravating. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes. And I was thinking, as you said that, some years ago, I went to the Deming Quality Institute, and super basic, something they taught out there, and it's always stayed with me. They talked about the value of having a brainstorming session. And sometimes you get people that in a brainstorming situation, it's more like fair to partly cloudy. But one of the things they emphasize is you're just throwing out ideas, and one idea can spawn another idea. But one of the most important elements to brainstorming is you're not allowed to critique. At that stage where you're just trying to put ideas out there, you write down every idea. Now, that is not easy to do because of the way people have been trained and accustomed. If you get a group of people together and you say, all right, here's a problem, what do you think a good answer for? Somebody eventually will say something, and I can guarantee somebody else is going to complain, oh, that doesn't work. I tried that. I had that problem somewhere else. You do that a time or two, I guarantee it will shut the entire group down. Nobody's going to want to put an idea out there knowing it's going to be attacked. And so this idea of having the freedom to express ideas, you know, without criticism, invariably one idea is not going to get criticized. It will inspire somebody else. And, well, you know what might even be better is, see, it keeps building on each other. And that's wisdom in action. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, arrogancy, evil way, froward mouth. Those things shut you down. Those don't allow creativity. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. Verse 14 says, I am understanding and I have strength. That's true. The best answers came after there was a freedom to have understanding, to build on it. Wisdom has strength. And verse 15 says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, verse 16. Nobles, even all the judges of the earth. So in other words, it's with wisdom that people rise to power. It's with this understanding. Now, verse 17 is very interesting. We have several of these in this chapter or proverb. It says, and it's what I call a conditional promise. A conditional promise works like this. You know, I will do this if you agree to do that. That's basically, it's conditioned on both of us agreeing to do something. If one of us fails to do it, the other person is no longer under our obligation. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. In other words, if I wait till the last minute and everything has gone to pot, why should wisdom jump in there and be there at my disposal? In other words, wisdom, the wisdom of God, this incredible level of understanding and insight, you know, people who value it, wisdom is drawn to them. If you seek it early, I don't know that that means at 5 a.m., but I think what it does mean is first. So in other words, at 2 in the afternoon, if you're about to take on a new project, something has just happened, first seek wisdom. Don't get into the project when everything's falling apart and then try to figure out what is going on. Verse 18, riches and honors are with me. Nay, durable riches and righteousness, my fruit, verse 19, is better than gold, the fine gold, the revenue of choice silver. What is he saying here? He is saying the reason riches and honor go along with it, don't you value somebody with a lot of wisdom? If you're working on a project or an assignment with somebody, whether at work or even home, if your family even is working on something together, to maybe have a big family get-together, something like that. That person who is just spontaneous, that says, oh, let's get there, and then nobody has a plan, nobody has any food, nobody has anything of what to do. You got people that are showing up at the wrong address because nobody told anybody, versus that person who is the ultimate organizer, who's already made arrangements for food to be at the location, and everybody got communicated to, and we know everybody's coming because we got confirmation back. That wonderful person who brought it all together, that is wisdom personified. Everything was planned out in a wonderful way. You tend to want to go back to that person and said, thank you, that was awesome. Can't believe you brought that together in such a wonderful way. We tend to recognize any public meeting go to, don't they oftentimes spend time thanking certain people that brought things together? And that's the reason why we value it. There's honors for that. Verse 20 says, I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of paths of judgment, another conditional promise. Why? That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I'll fill their treasures. So if we love and value wisdom, there is this substance, inheritance, treasure that's coming back to us. So finally, wisdom says always listen. In other words, it's always the right thing to do. Have you considered just how far back wisdom has existed, Jim? Have you thought about that? Because the answer is right up there in verse 22 through 24. What's it tell us?
The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains, abounding with water. Pastor, it tells me that it's just one of those reassuring proverbs that tells me I've been around for a while. I've been here before you. I saw this at its beginning.
From the foundation, before the earth was formed, before it was spoken into existence, wisdom was with God and wisdom was being acted on. That's why I say before the foundation, before the water was brought forth. It's an incredible way to look at things. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he, God, had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. And when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. I should give you a pretty strong indication of how highly God values wisdom. And if he sets it as that high a priority, he's willing to share it with you. Isn't that amazing?
Pastor, I would just wonder right now, just what you said provoked me to imagine. Is there anything that I can ask God that he has to maybe turn to Jesus and say, wow, I didn't see that coming. I don't know the answer to that. Do you? No, I don't know it either. It's wonderful to imagine. We turn to Google. We turn to Alexa. And I hope she doesn't go off while I'm saying that. But we turn to those to ask questions, when I wonder how often we should stop and say, Father, and have him respond. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I learned to value. There's not, sometimes you get the feeling there's not enough, a lot of other Christians around you. And I remember Navy days that, you know, I learned to know the people who had faith. And sometimes when I was up against something that was a particular challenge, I learned to hunt those people down and say, all right, can't tell you everything I'm dealing with, but here's in a snapshot, you know, what are your thoughts? And would you pray about this? See, we forget sometimes that getting God involved on the front end saves us so much trouble from the other side. And as we work through something, seeking God's face, asking for his wisdom, remember the James verse earlier, asking God, you know, he'll give it to you. He's not going to chew you out about it or make you feel stupid. He'll just provide it to you. And so if God drew on wisdom as a part of his nature from the creation, in fact, before the creation, so he's given us the example before the earth even existed, before the mountains were brought up, before the waters were divided, all of that, God brought in wisdom. So he exercised wisdom. And so if God is doing that, why do you and I think we can run ahead and do it in our own strength with our own spontaneous ideas? I think we need to realize wisdom has value, and wisdom is going to speak to us. And so as a result of that, wisdom offers us some things, offers us not just the understanding to do something, but it also offers happiness. Verse 32 says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, children." In other words, now that we've got all this foundation laid, that even God depended on him, and God had wisdom prior to the creation. "Now therefore hearken unto wisdom, O ye children." And this is important. That's another conditional promise. So if we do something, wisdom is going to do something in our lives. God, through wisdom, will do something for us. It says, "For blessed are they that keep my ways." Blessed, we found in the Old Testament, that's translated English, blessed, literally means happy. So in other words, happy are you, it keeps your ways. So if we're obedient, if we exercise wisdom, we're conditioned, we're told, I promise you, you're going to be happier for the experience. Verse 33 says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." So, in other words, don't think you can run ahead in your own strength and not have problems. But if you hold back and seek wisdom first, you're told, then things are going to be stronger, better, happier. Isn't that a wonderful thing to realize that God has set us up a scenario that says, do this and you can be happy? I promise you. That's what God is saying here. I promise you. Do this, you'll be happy. What do you think about that, Jim? How many conditional promises do you get each day in business that said, by the way, if you do that, you'll be happy? Do you ever get an instruction manual that came out with that header?
Well, the operative word there is happy.
Yeah.
It's interesting what it takes to make somebody happy, and I think of the entertainment industry, Pastor. It's like a, you know, what we imagine an addict cannot keep enough heroin or marijuana or whatever in his bloodstream to keep him soothed and happy. It's and I look at this and I think, okay, now I know where to go to get wisdom. I go to God.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he give it abundantly. But I also wonder, is it, you know, I was raised by breakfast cereals and orange drinks, or not drinks, but orange juice back then. And mm-hmm. one of the things I remember is you cannot store vitamin C. You get from oranges and limes and all the citric fruits. You cannot store vitamin C in your body. You have to ingest it every day. That's where the British sailors got limonene. They would get rickets, their bones. And so they taught them, you know, use these limes, and that ingestion of vitamin C will keep your body healthy. And I just think of wisdom. He doesn't just give me wisdom, does he? And then I walk away and lead my life. It's something I think that has to be replenished daily, is it not?
That's very true. And that's why early will I seek him, we're taught in other scriptures. Early, I want to get with God. I said, you know, certainly a fresh dose of wisdom applied to a project, even if it's in the afternoon, but my entire focus on how I will deal with each day, very first thing early in the morning, before the clutter of the world starts jumping in there, seek God's face, find out what we would do. And, you know, this is wonderful, this little passage here, because verses 34, 35, 36, we've got three more conditional promises popping in here. One, 34, blessed is the man that heareth me. Happy, in other words, if you listen to God, listen for wisdom, watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of the doors. Remember, that's where we found out, that's where wisdom's hanging out. Any place where he can get up there first before we get into a mess. So, happy is the man that hears. So think about that for a minute. What good does it do if you're told how to do it right and you ignore it and you go on? Haven't you ever had the irritation of showing somebody how to do something? You step away for a moment. When you come back, they found their own way to do it that was so much better. And now you've got to stop them and fix it because, no, it wasn't the better way. You know, no, there was a reason for what you had told them to do. They just didn't know the ramifications. And you got a mess on your hands. Blessed is the man who hears and you act on that. So happy, there's your conditional promise. Happy because you're listening. You heard it. It wasn't just, you know, the fact that the words were being spoken. You actually took them in and acted on it. And the second one there, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So if you find wisdom, you've gotten a hold of life on a different level, and you're going to have the favor of the Lord. Jim, what would it be worth to you just to know that you had God's favor in your life? It's like, you know, you meet that person that, you know, you've done something good, and now they feel like they owe you. Well, in essence, that's this little verse here is saying, I have found wisdom, I've found life, and now God is basically like going to do something for me just because of the fact of my value that I have placed on wisdom. How do you respond to something like that? Isn't that incredible?
It's wonderful to think that I can be happy when I ask for wisdom from the one that created everything, and that this is a way to be happy. So I think the first step is, do I want to be happy? Some people like to wallow in pity and the aggravation in life. But I just think of my brother Donnie, who is just a genius when it comes to the daily household and all the things that need fixing. I can do it, and then he'll say, no, you need to do it this way, and I'm bullheaded. I do it my way, and then I call him to, okay, I need to fix it now. Can you help me? And he says, why didn't you do it the way I told you? This is the reason I told you to do it. And so he will admonish me, and invariably he's right. So I just think of God, how he must react to us, that I've got the answer here. Hey, look up. I'm right here for you. I'm at those posts. I'm at those entryways. And we don't even look up. Why is that? Why are we so human, Pastor?
Maybe because we're human. I don't know. But have you considered, happy is a man who hears? So the flip of that is, unhappy is a man who doesn't. In other words, if I just, I don't have time for that, don't tell me. I'll figure it out myself. And you blaze ahead, you know, like this is the person who, they don't need GPS or a map of any sort. I'll find my own way. Thank you very much. You know, no, I've heard that business about always going and having your air pressure checked. Who needs that, you know? And then they're hearing that odd sound in the back. You know, I've always remembered a silly little incident some years ago. And I was driving on a small road. It wasn't heavy traffic. But I remembered this guy beside me rolling his window down, and I rolled my window down to see what he had to say. And I thought he was saying, you're fat. And I thought, what an ugly thing to say, you know? And I thought, yeah, and you're ugly too. You know, I mean, it's just like, what is wrong with this guy? And then a little bit, he kept trying to signal me, and, you know, I thought, forget this guy. I rolled up my window. And then I noticed the car was riding a little funny. I pulled over and got out and looked, and I realized the back left tire was getting flat, not fat. So, you know. And I say that because sometimes we look at scriptures like this and we're saying, I don't need that. What has that got to say to me? And what you have to realize is you're not really listening yet. You're not hearing the fact that by the reason the man is happy that hears wisdom is because if you don't hear wisdom, you're going to be unhappy. If you misunderstand what is being communicated, you're going to do it the wrong way. And now you got to go back and fix it. And it always takes longer to do it wrong than it does to do it right. You know, right may look like, oh, why do I have to do those extra steps? Well, because it's still faster than doing it wrong and then having to fix the damage that you just created and then doing it the right way. You know, you do it wrong, you have to do it at least twice, maybe more if you're slow to figure out you're doing it wrong. So blessed is the man that hears me. Happy. Why? Because I only have to do it one time and I do it the best way. And if I find him, the wisdom of God, then I'm finding life. I've got the favor of God working in my life. The third one, which is also conditional, is also very negative. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me seems to love death, apparently. For all they that love me love death. What is he saying there? Leave God out of the equation, and you're going to be harming yourself, your own soul. Leave God out of the equation. I don't need what God has to say. Then expect you must have a death wish. Because I promise you, leaving God out of the equation, and what is sin? You remember sin? Sin bringeth forth death. Sin is anything where you're doing it in your strength, not God's strength. God's wisdom. Not God's wisdom, but your own wisdom. So sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's verse 36. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Why does he say love death? Because if you had gone with God instead of going with sin, you would know life. You go in your own strength. You go in sin. You're going to find out about death. See, it's possible to know Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Savior. Because wisdom will make us blessed. It will give us happiness. It will give us the favor of the Lord. And if we ignore it, what it will bring is the judgment for our sin. And the price of sin has already been paid. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that is an offering that's out there on the platter waiting for you this day if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. Jim, take a moment and share with our listeners how they can know Jesus Christ as their own Savior and have blessedness, have favor, and have eternal life.
Father, we pray at this point in our program every week, we pray your wisdom, Lord. Give us your wisdom and those that are out there today that don't even understand why they need a Savior. I pray, Father, that you would give them wisdom to hear these words and respond as your Holy Spirit works on their hearts and their minds. If you are absolutely at the bottom of your life, your wife has left you, your husband has left you, you've got illness, somebody you love is ill and sick, and you realize you're out of bullets. You can't fix this. You are ill-equipped. I pray for wisdom right now as you hear these words. Here's what God tells us. Chapter 10, verse 9 of the book of Romans. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize it now. Please forgive me. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's faith. You got to step out in faith. But when you do that, the Holy Spirit will make it abundantly clear you've done the right thing. Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you step out and accept Christ today, Pastor, can they lose that salvation?
Absolutely not. You got to remember, salvation comes by the very grace of God. God does it right. So that's the incredible blessing, and we look forward to having our time of blessing together again next week if the Lord tarries. Meantime, if you have a question, send us a question at ask@askthepastornow.com. That's ask@askthepastornow.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I trust you will seek God's wisdom. God bless you. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.